Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Scottish Clans podcast. I am Clint, and I am grateful that you've joined me today. It is a wonderful spring day. We've spent a little time outside, had our little town that we live near, had a little May Day celebration, and guess what all this means? That the weather is turning nice, and it is time to hike. Hike. I've already been on a few hikes. It's something that I usually turn into a regular occurrence two or three times a week. And guess what I like hiking in? My USA Kilts casual kilt. I'll get into a little more detail about the different kilts they have to offer, but suffice it to say, you ought to go over there to usakilts.com and find yourself something to represent your pride in your Scottish connection or interest or heritage, whatever it is that connects you to that. Also, go check out their YouTube channel, USA Kilts and Celtic Traditions. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got an awesome story for you today. And by awesome, I mean interesting. I really do think that this is the kind of stuff that Hollywood movies and wonderful best-selling novels are made out of. It is quite tragic, actually. But it does make for good storytelling. And I hope I do the story justice. Before I do that, I want to encourage you, if you enjoy this podcast, this material, this type of content, I encourage you to follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're on right now and rate it. Especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, rate this and leave me a little comment, a little something for me to go off of. How are you liking it? Be thinking about that as we go through this episode, of the things that you liked about it or the things that we could do better. Also, if you want to send me a little longer message, you can go over to thescottishclans@gmail.com. So yeah, send me a note over there. I've already had a wonderful experience receiving some correspondence from people who are in the audience. And that's one thing about this that I really enjoy. If this provides value for you, consider contributing to the cause. You can go over to USA Kilts, to Scottish-Clans.com/team. And I've got a very easy, quick option for you to either give a one-time donation via QR code to a Venmo account, or you can go over to my Patreon account and become a subscriber. And subscribers get their recommendations for content pushed to the front of the line. So think about that. Also, I want to point out that I am developing more and more of the YouTube presence. So if you like this kind of content, but with visual aids, hop on over and check out some of the things I've got on there and stay tuned for things that I will yet put on there. So let's start talking about the Appin murder. All right, where is Appin? Well, Appin is in the Highlands. In fact, it used to be part of MacDougall territory. The MacDougalls were the senior line descending from Somerled, the famous Hebridean warlord, who established, who carved out for himself basically a kingdom. In some sources, he is referred to Rhi in Seagal, which means king of the Hebrides, the islands of the foreigners. And he had a son named Dougal, and that is who the MacDougalls descend from, and they are the senior line. The MacDonalds would eclipse in prominence their MacDougal kinsmen, but originally it was the MacDougalls who had the bigger territory. Now, they sided against Robert Bruce, and that didn't go very well for them when he gained the throne and secured it. And he really took it to them, but they did hold on. They didn't lose everything, and they continued into the subsequent centuries as a clan. But their territory was very reduced in size, and so if you have access to a map of Scotland and you go up in the north part of Argyll, there's a part called Appin, and the Stuarts were the ones who would eventually gain control of that area. And they were there for many, many generations, long enough for this area to be considered their duchess, or their birthright, their heritage, and connected to the land. All right? So they would have considered Appin as such. And we go into the Jacobite rebellions, and the Stuarts of Appin sided with their distant cousins, the royal Stuart branch of the family, and they were Jacobites, and they fought as Jacobites, which did not go well for them after the Jacobite rebellion was crushed. And so that happened in 1746. The major crushing defeat that they had as a military force was in the Battle of Culloden. If you're new to this subject and you want to look that up, after the Battle of Culloden, and after the crushing of this Jacobite rising, a lot of the prominent Jacobite leaders lost everything in some cases. So that's kind of the background setting as we go in. That's where it's happening. This is what time period it's happening immediately post Jacobite rebellion. So later 1740s into the 1750s, that's the time frame that we're operating in. And the government has selected a person by the name of Colin Roy Campbell of Glenure, who had the nickname of Red Fox. Now, the Red Fox, the red part of this, Colin Roy, that actually, if you go to Gaelic's Ruig, and that indicates somebody with a ruddy complexion, red hair, and so there, those two things are connected. Colin Ruig, Colain, Ruig, Campbell of Glenure. I tried my hand at Gaelic there. Hope be patient with me. The Red Fox, he was the person that the government put in charge to stick it to the Stuarts of Appin as the government causes their chief to forfeit his lands there because of its involvement in the Jacobite rebellion. So Colin Campbell is the one who's riding around doing the evicting, leading the forces, the government troops, to push these people off their land. Go, you can't stay here anymore. You got to go find someplace else. Now, for all of these evictions that Colin Roy Campbell took part in, you would think that he would be one of the most hated people around, and maybe for some people he was. However, there's a really interesting detail in this story. He was included in a satire, an anti-Whig satire, called An Arca, by a Jacobite poet, Alastair MacVashter Alastair. So Alastair MacVashter Alastair, that the MacVashter part of it, the son of Master Alexander, he was a very educated. I looked him up. He has a really long Wikipedia article on him. Very sharp individual and a MacDonald of Clanranald. So of all the people you would think would hate Colin Roy Campbell just for the fact that he was a Campbell, it was him, let alone his involvement in these expelling people off of their lands that their family's been on for generations. But he, in this satire that he wrote, it's interesting that he actually has a little bit of a certain respect for Colin Roy Campbell. So it says, and this is a translation from the Gaelic, "Though Colin of Glenure I much esteem, would that he was not Alder, but true you, since he forsook the allegiance of his sires, to be reprieved is not his due. A girdle of the treasure of King George, of finest gold around his middle fling, and to Neptune offer him, though hard, unless at once he named the rightful king." Now, in there, just at the very beginning of that, and by the way, I am drawing from a Wikipedia article. That's not the only source that I use for this podcast, but it does quote that satire right in there. And it's interesting that you'd have this poet from the MacDonalds of Clanranald who has this, and it infuses into his satire, this poem, a grudging respect for Colin Roy of Glenure. And as I kind of piece together the bigger picture, the image that I have of this Colin Roy Campbell of Glenure is somebody who is playing his part that he's in. He is a Campbell. He's loyal to his clan. And because the Campbells were loyal to the British government, speaking of the Hanover government, against the Stuart dynasty that would get the government and the throne back into their hands and those clans that were loyal to them, he played his role according to the clan that he was in. And, you know, I said earlier that the government appointed him as the eviction guy to get these clans, these Stuart of Appin guys out of here because they took the wrong side. And we need to install more Campbells in this area as they then take over this Appin territory. And he was a government appointee, but if you figure who his clan chief was, the Duke by this time of Argyll, you know, that probably had something to do with appointing him to this position. And he seems like I'm getting the picture of an honorable or at least a sharp, capable, halfway decent human being who's playing the part that he's in. Now, as we get farther into the story, those who people who hate him. Watch what happens here. So he's on the morning of the 14th of May, 1752, his nephew Mungo Campbell, who was a lawyer, and three other men on horseback, 300 other armed guys riding with them, probably Campbell clansmen, are moving from one place to the next eviction that they're going to carry out. And I'm imagining this scene in my head. They're riding along. Colin and Mungo are having a conversation. And all of a sudden, simultaneously, Colin pitches forward on his horse. And you hear a gunshot coming from their rear. As the men, other men who are not shot, turn to look where the threat's coming from, they see a rifleman running off along the hills and into the distance. Now, they didn't chase him down. There weren't very many of them. If I were them, I'd be wondering, you know, how many buddies does this guy have right around the hill? And if I go off chasing them and separate myself from my friends, am I going right into an ambush? Maybe they're thinking something along the same lines, but either way, you've got Colin Roy Campbell here. He's been shot, and some accounts say twice. The Wikipedia article says, while a single shot was heard by these witnesses, two wounds were reportedly found in Colin Campbell's body. Slouching on his horse, Colin Campbell cried out, "Oh, I am dead. Take care of yourselves." Mungo Campbell, close by the victim, sighted a figure on a hill at some distance in dark clothing and carrying a musket. Well, he's the boogeyman, right? Aside from what personal traits that might have been honorable or whatever else about him, to a lot of people, he is the boogeyman. He is the man behind the evictions and pushing these people off because they're leaders, regardless of what opinion. I imagine the average Klansman and women and kids really might not have followed the politics very closely, but their chief and his upper echelon of fellow leaders chose the Stuarts, and so when they call their clan up to fight, guess what side they're fighting on. And then now, because of that position that their leaders chose, they're being pushed off of their lands. And who's doing it? This Colin Roy Campbell. Well, he's dead now. Well, okay, so here's the part you got to think about. Yeah, maybe we took care of this dude who had caused a lot of suffering, but he's a Campbell, and he's a government appointee. So what are the implications here? The implications are somebody's going to pay for this. But you know what you ought to pay for is a USA Kilts kilt or anything else from USA Kilts. Superior products, superior customer service. I totally recommend, if you want to get anything to wear to display your pride and your Scottish connection, whatever that kind of connection is, go to usakilts.com. They have such a broad variety of products to choose from. And also, it's not just the products they have. They have some cool content over at USA Kilts and Celtic Traditions on YouTube. So go over there and check that out. They have free shipping to anywhere in the U.S. So tell them that you were recommended by Clint from the Scottish Clans podcast. And with that, I will let you get back to the rest of the show. Now, if you were the government, where would you look first for the culprit? Well, probably amongst the Stuarts of Appin. And that's exactly what happened. I'm going to go back to quoting from the Wikipedia article here. It says, the search for the killer targeted the Clan Stuart. The chief suspect, Alan Breck Stuart, having fled, James Stuart of the Glens, the tawniest of the Stuarts, was arrested for the crime and tried for the murder in a trial dominated by the pro-Hanoverian clan Campbell. So the chief, Archibald Campbell, the third Duke of Argyll, was the presiding judge, and the 15-man jury contained Campbell clansmen. I'm going to pause right here in my quoting the Wikipedia article. Another source that I read said 11 of those 15 men on the jury were Campbells. So clearly, you can kind of see where this is going. I'm going to go back quoting the Wikipedia article. Although the trial showed that James had a solid alibi, he was found guilty, quote, in arts and parts, unquote, as an accessory before the fact, or an aider and abettor. James Stuart was hanged on 8 November 1752 on a specially commissioned gibbet above the Narrows at Ballachulish. near the south entrance to the Balakulish Bridge. He died protesting his innocence, lamenting that people of the ages may think him capable of a horrid and barbarous murder. Before mounting the scaffold, James of the Glens drew upon the tradition of Reformed worship in the Gaeltacht and sang the metrical version of the 35th Psalm in Scottish Gaelic, which goes, "False witnesses rose, to my charge things I not knew they laid. They, to the spoiling of my soul, me ill for good repaid." That's Psalm 35. To this day in the Highlands, it remains known as the Psalm of James of the Glens. Similarly to the usual practice, after the hanging of pirates, James of the Glens' corpse was left hanging at what is now the south end of the Balakulish Ferry for 18 months as a warning to other clans with rebellious intentions. Over those months, it was beaten and battered by winds and rain as it deteriorated. His skeletal remains were held together with chains and wire. Holy cow. So you have, they suspect Alan Breck Stewart did it, but they've got to get somebody for this. They can't just let it go unpunished. So guess what? James Stewart of the Glens, you're the one who's going to take it, for even if it wasn't you. And there was no evidence, and he had a solid alibi, he still was hung for something that he didn't do, for the murder of Colin Roy Campbell of Glenure. Now, one thing in there, a detail in there, I want to help some of you who are newer to this subject understand. When I said that James, or when the Wikipedia article said that James Stewart of the Glens was the tarnished of the Stuarts, that means he is the designated next in command. That when the chief, he's designated by the chief to be the next chief after the chief passes away. So that's what the tarnished was. And you have these different systems of succession throughout Scotland, and specifically here in the Highlands. You do see primogeniture used, whichever how you pronounce it. But and it almost seems like the tarnistry system of naming a successor before the chief passes away, or primogeniture, where the oldest son just takes it. And I did actually a couple part episode on this a while back. So if you go back into my episodes, which you can actually search, if you're searching through my podcast episodes and you go to the podcast, the source of the podcast, which is on Podbean, there's a link to it. I'll include a link below, or you can go to scottish-clans.com and you can go to the pod. You can access it through there, and you do a search. I name all my podcast episodes super descriptive, so you can know right where to go. Tarnistry, if you just tanistry, if you put that in there, you'll be able to find it. I think at the end of the day, though, I just decided that the clans, regardless of which systems, whether it was the old tarnistry system handed down by their forefathers, or the primogeniture, which was more influenced by the Normans who came into Scotland, and by this time, both systems are super old. So this is the mid-1700s. Both of them are ancient. At the end of the day, they chose whichever guy they thought would be the best pick. And if they wanted to make it look like they were fallen primogeniture, they would doctor the genealogies to make it look like he was the next in line. Or if he had an older brother that they passed over because they didn't like him, didn't think he'd be as good of a leader, they would say that he was a bastard. He was born out of wedlock by his parents weren't married, and so therefore he's illegitimate to take the leadership of the clan. At the end of the day, they did what they had to do, regardless of what system they was going on at the time. I just wanted to explain tarnistry there for the new people, but that's who James Stewart of the Glens was. He was the designated next chief of the Stuarts of Appin, and he died as an innocent man. Now, the story doesn't stop here. It continues into the modern days as people have pursued this. I do think it's really interesting. I'm just going to continue reading the rest of this Wikipedia article. And if you want to go to all you have to do is type in Appin murder. You go to the Wikipedia article. Guys, there's tons of other sources that it takes you to in the notes section below, or in the references, and which I did follow some of those links and read up some other sources. So I'm not relying completely on Wikipedia, but it suits my purpose right now. And so that's why I'm going to read the rest of the article. This is what's come of this scenario in modern days. In Walking with Murder on the Kidnapped Trail, 2005, Ian Nimmo has addressed the mystery of who shot Colin Campbell, applying modern police methods to the documents in the case, including two postmortem reports. According to Nimmo, Alan Stewart did not pull the trigger, and the secret of who did has been handed down through the Stewart family for 250 years. Nimmo chose not to reveal it, stating that, quote, "it is not mine to give away," unquote. In 2001, Amanda Penman, an 89-year-old descendant of the clan chiefs of the Stewarts of Appin, alleged the murder had been planned by four young Stewart taxmen without the sanction of James of the Glens. There was a shooting contest among them, and the assassination was committed by the best marksman among the four, Donald Stewart of Ballachulish. According to some accounts, Donald desperately wanted to turn himself in rather than allow James to hang, and had to be physically held down to prevent this. Several years after James's execution, when the body was finally returned to the Stewart clan for burial, Donald Stewart of Ballachulish was responsible for washing the bones before the Reformed funeral. That is heavy. And I'm not quoting anymore. That is heavy. They made him wash the bones, even though he tried to push forward an account as the actual one who pulled the trigger, and he was held back from doing it. They made him wash the bones of the guy that was hung in his place. That's crazy. In his 2004, I'm quoting again, in his 2004 examination of the evidence, Lee Holcomb also concluded that Donald Stewart of Ballachulish, rather than Alan Breck Stewart, is far more likely to have been the actual shooter. However, he also concluded that James of the Glens, despite his eloquent denials, was indeed guilty of ordering the murder of Colin Campbell. There was an attempt to gain a pardon for James of the Glens. In 2008, Glasgow lawyer John McCauley asked the Scottish Criminal Cases Review Commission to reconsider the case on the grounds his study of the trial transcripts shows there was not a shred of evidence against Stewart, but was denied due to the case being so old it was not in the interest of justice. In 2015, the Scottish government said it would not proceed with a pardon. And that is the story. It's a story that's wild when it took place, but it perpetuated into the 21st century. That is really interesting. And it was a murder the whole time. Who actually shot Colin Roy Campbell of Glenure? Well, there you have some of the best arguments about who did it. Why it happened is, I think, pretty clear. And the role that he played in the evictions of the Stewarts of Appin. There you have it. Hey, if you enjoyed this story, there are so many more stories out there. I listen to podcasts about podcasting, and a lot of the episodes that I see the titles of are like how to come up with content. And I never listen to those because that is the least of my worries. But if you have something I could improve on, go to the Apple Podcasts or the wherever. I'm sure every platform you listen to podcasts on has a way to leave a review and comments there. I know Podbean, the platform itself, has a way for you to message me. I don't check those as often. I check my email, thescottishclans@gmail.com, pretty regularly. And I think I've been pretty good at staying on top and responding to people on that, better than I have in times past, admittedly. But if you're on Apple Podcasts, go on there and give me a review and leave some comments in there. I'd love to hear it. I'd also encourage you to go over and check out the YouTube channel. I do have some content on YouTube that I don't have on the podcast. But I do have a lot more content on the podcast. Making videos takes a while. All this takes effort and time and resources. And so if you find it valuable and you'd like to contribute to the cause, go to scottish-clans.com/team. And I have made it as easy as I can over there to either leave a one-time donation or become a subscriber on Patreon. I've got links to both things. So go over and check that out on scottish-clans.com. I have access to free resources, other things that might be helpful in your study of the Scottish clans. Like I said, I do have an email if you want to reach out and leave me a longer message on there. I'd love to hear from you. Marshin Leven Drasta.